It's the High Cooking Corner on 101.9 High FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. New voice on the Cooking Corner. Not Ellen, not Sharon. I'm Adrian. And for those who don't know me, I run a company called Cushering Your Life, where I help people eat better, plan their meals, and learn to shop on a budget and save their money. So this week, we're going to start my first show with the 9 days being in. So for all the meat eaters, I'm sorry that you're suffering. Those who keep the 9 days know, we started on Friday the 13th. So lucky for some, unlucky for others. And I know every year, everybody goes mad about this time of the year because they have no idea what to make for supper, the ideas, and everybody sticks to these high-carb meals. We all are into pastas and lasagnas, and then nobody runs out, you know, nobody can think of anything. I know, like, my family are craving their meat, so, you know, we have to find other alternatives to protein for the very big protein eaters. So what I actually do with people is I help you go through your kitchen, whether you do it by yourself or you come to a workshop to learn how to do it, and find out, because I know in my family they'll open the cupboard or the fridge and go, well, Ma, there's nothing to eat, and yet the cupboards are full. So that's who I am. I look at alternative ideas to the ingredients in your cupboard and sometimes come up with things that most people have never eaten, vegetables that are unusual, things like that. I love learning about food. I love cooking. I love feeding people, which I suppose is a Jewish thing anyway, because nobody's happy unless their tummies are full. And that's quite a common, you know, thing. So I've been lucky. I don't have any fussy eaters at home to a certain extent, but I now have a lactose intolerant child. And for my 9 days, lasagnas and macaroni and cheese are no longer on the cards. There's no cheese, you know. Although I did learn something new this week, and that is the Tuss's cheese seems to be digestible for those who are lactose intolerant. And that is because if you look at the back of the ingredients, where it gives you a list of what's in it, it sort of says, it says carbs, carbohydrates of which a percentage is sugar. Now, lactose is sugar in dairy, so when it says no grams, it means there's no lactose. Not a lot of products with that. So we're having to learn how to readjust our eating, and especially for her, whose favorite meals are pizzas and pastas. And most of our family would be happy with that for the 9 days, but now we've had to learn all new recipes and all new things. And you want to be healthy. Just because it's the 9 days, you can't change the way you eat. You can't suddenly go from having a good, healthy meal to having these high-carb meals every single day, and then you've still got to think of lunch for, you know, for school and lunch for after school and what to serve a family that's going to fill them all, especially if you've got, like, teenagers or teenage boys even. They're always hungry. So that's the main thing. And also now it's cold, so you're going to want all these high-carb foods to keep you warm, and that's what winter is. We all want our potatoes. We want our, once again, pastas and things that are comfort foods, heavy cream sauces, you know, toasts, things like that to fill us up and get our body going, getting us warm. And that's what carbohydrates do. So now we need to find other alternatives to improving, you know, eating habits during the 9 days and not living on all-you-can-eat sushi or, you know, rice dishes. Although I must admit, risotto does play a big part during this time for me because it's a nice rice dish and there's so much you can do with it, and pastas as well. for those, gnocchi is also another one, which is potato. But once again, if you're trying to cut down on your carbs, none of these things are going to help. So we're looking today at soups to fill you up. Some that are whole full meals that can be used as a full meal, and some that are accompaniments. And then also some low-carb ideas, you know, uses of baby marrow that and carrots, kohlrabi if it's still in season, eggplant, which I know a lot of people are not used to using. One of my family's favorites is eggplant parmigiana. It's a bit of a hassle to make, so I've learned to make shortcuts because otherwise it can take you 2 hours to make it. When you have to cut up your eggplant, salt it so that it sweats out all the excess water. Then you've got to crumb it and fry it. I sort of skip the crumbing and frying part and use it as a lasagna sheet. Making a zucchini lasagna, baby marrow lasagna, slicing it can also be a bit tiresome because you've got to slice the baby marrow quite thin, you know. And for those who are banting, it's also, you know, your protein has to change. And fish is not exactly the cheapest thing on the market either, especially decent fish. So, you know, when you're looking at 300 plus for a salmon and you've got a family of five, it's going to be a little on the rough side. So those are the things that we need to, that we're going to look at today. Just a couple of ideas and also samples of some of my meal plans that I do for the dinners, you know, during the week. I've got like a warm roasted butternut salad, a vegetable and chickpea curry, which is amazing as a protein and a filler for those of you who are banting. We've got black bean burgers. These don't work. Baby marrow lasagna, curried lentil stew, and then some quick ones like a one-pot pasta where you put everything in one pot and cook it all together and get you going that way. Less to clean up and a lot less hassle. And fish chowders to look at. I've got a recipe for that to give as well. And then, you know, curry is always a good thing. Fish curries are great, but curry is always good in winter. Keep you nice and warm. Honey and ginger to help you fight flus. Lots of garlic in my house. And hot and sour soup is also a favorite there. So those are the things that we're going to cover tonight. Oh, sorry, today. I'm already at the end of the day. So we started on Friday the 13th, like I said. So everybody got to start off nicely with their meat meal and then had to think of what to do for the rest of the week. And like I said, we all struggle with this. Everybody, all of a sudden you're not allowed to have meat. And even if you're not big meat eaters, suddenly the ideas of what to make and how to think about those things just, you know, are gone. So thank goodness for groups where we've got like the kosher food groups where everybody posts their ideas and some of their recipes. So last night I did all steamed vegetables, steamed bok choy, steamed baby jemma squash, steamed the new colored carrots that you can find at Pick and Pay. Those baby carrots are absolutely stunning, and they add a nice bright color to your food even when you're doing it. And then I use something that a lot of people are a bit scared of, and that's called tofu. People are very nervous of using tofu. It often tastes like mush, and if it's not marinated properly, it has no taste whatsoever at all. So you get this mouthful of squishy stuff. So I've learned or practiced and learned how to deep fry it occasionally, how to grill it as well into like almost like a steak, but they do need to be marinated. So that's something you need to plan because it needs to sit for at least 3 hours in whatever sauce you're marinating. But if you're doing orient Asian dishes, tofu is amazing. For those who don't like tofu, you can actually change it for soya products. The fries, chicken style strips are great for this. If you like your cottage pie or your lasagnas, then their mince is also a great substitute. Obviously, tuna, I know in my house we can go through about 10 tins a week, but you know, you can only have so much tuna because you'll have it for lunch and then you've got to end up having it for supper as well because you still need your extra protein. Sampan beans for me is my favorite, not very good. And, you know, it's quite a high GI. We're just going to an ad break now and we'll talk afterwards.
From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 High FM.
Hi, welcome back. It's Adrian speaking here today. New voice if you've just tuned in, and hopefully a regular voice that you're going to hear. So this week we're talking about soups. It's freezing outside. There's a cold snap. Everybody is like ice cold. So we need to find soups that can be made either as a full meal or that you can have as an accompaniment, obviously depending on how you're going to serve it, but you also need to look at ones that you're not going to make and that's going to be very high in carbs and, you know, keep you cold and make you still hungry. So one of our favorites in my family, and we have it summer and winter because you can have it hot or cold, is potato and leek soup. For a little bit of variation, if you want, if you're making a dairy, you can add some cream, nice thick cream in it. It just gives it that beautiful silky flavor and texture. The other thing is a sweet potato soup. So we call it like a mock butternut soup. The sweet potato soup has a slightly different flavor, more peppery, because we need a lot of flavors. But the sweet potato translates beautifully into a soup. And then there's the curried carrot soup. Curried carrots, most people go, carrot soup? No, I don't think so. It is outstanding, and because it's a nice bright orange color, you'll find that kids are often prepared to try it. In my house, we have a little trick. You're not allowed to, if I think it's something that they don't normally eat, a vegetable that's unusual, then I say they have to taste it, and then I'll tell them what's in it. And often they'll go, oh, yum, that's okay. And then you say, it's carrot, and they go, really? You tricked me. So curried carrots, and it's easy to make, onions, carrots, and curry powder, and your normal vegetable or chicken stock. Then the butternut soup, curried butternut or plain butternut, whichever you prefer. And this has to appear on my food menu at least once a month, if not more, because it is a firm favorite in everyone. And I can serve that one for lunch, often with like a toasted cheese or just plain toast. Sometimes I'll just put a little bit of noodle, the angel hair pasta, into it just to give it some more filling flavor, especially when they've got sport in the day. Then you want something that's got carbs in that they can burn off. So that recipe I will give you just now. We won't forget that. Another one is fish chowder. Now, chowder is normally associated with things like clams and prawns, and it's a shellfish soup at most times. But I found a recipe on my favorite recipe site, which is All Recipes, and they do a fish chowder. It has to have a few adjustments because it does want clam juice, but I found that normal stock would work fine. So that is also, and it uses mushrooms, celery, potatoes, and I used the new potatoes instead of normal potatoes, fish, and then, like I said, it wants clam juice. I just used normal stock. And then it wanted a hot sauce. So I used a bit of Tabasco, but any hot sauce will work. And then for those who wanted milk, it does have evaporated milk, and it uses a lot. It uses 2 cans. I have successfully made it as well with Oli Whip. It has come out quite nicely. And if you keep it parve, then you can put little fried pieces of bacon in when it's not the 9 days. That also very filling. It's a whole meal in itself, you know, if you make it big enough. It does take a little time to prepare. It's about an hour. And I try and avoid things that are going to take too long. So that, because, you know, nobody's got time to spend hours and hours in front of the stove. Tomato soup. I have an easy tomato soup recipe on my website, which is Kashering Your Life. And that one is actually a full meal for toddlers even. And it's made mostly with fresh ingredients. So they want Israeli tomatoes and they want normal plum tomatoes. Then they want a can of tomato, chopped tomato in a can. And you just blitz the whole thing together. I must admit, I use the herbed tomatoes, the can, just because I felt it needed more flavor. You just blitz the whole thing together and heat it up. It's cooked. So literally 20 minutes. And when you want to make it into a meal, then I do. I serve it with garlic bread or little cheese toasts, you know, melt the cheese on top of the bread and float that on top to create a full meal. Then minestrone. Minestrone can vary. Minestrone is basically whatever's in the fridge goes in the pot soup. Yes, there's recipes, and I'll open a tin of baked beans to add it to it. If there's macaroni, I'll break that up and put it in because, you know, most minestrones want soup. Sometimes I make it parve, no meat in it, or even dairy, and I do like a creamy tomato base of my minestrone. Other times I make it into a pure vegetable soup and then just add the bulky vegetables afterwards, like the baked beans and the pasta. And I put some cream in, nowadays I put Oli Whip in because there's no more cream. And after the 9 days, make it with some meat. Put some nice soup bones in and it gives it a slightly more robust feeling. But minestrone is great when you want it as one meal in one pot by adding the pasta. Once again, not a low GI, you know, meal or low carb meal, but really, really healthy. And then a new favorite on our list is called the peanut chicken noodle soup. It's sort of a fusion between the Asian and the Jewish culture. You know, everybody knows their chicken noodle soup, but this time we add peanut sauce into it as well. And it was quite quick to make. It's not a long recipe. So those are some of the ideas. Baby marrow soup. Now, baby marrow soup in my house, also, most of the family, they're not mad about the baby marrows if you just give them to them. But put them in a soup, and it's a whole nother question. And this time I did a slight variation. I'm not sure why I bought it, but I had the tofuti, the non-dairy cream cheese, and I added some of that into the soup, and it just made it into like a cream of baby marrow soup. It was much more flavorsome and quite filling as well. And everybody enjoyed that. And baby marrow soup is so easy to make. Literally, you dice an onion and a clove of garlic, fry those up until they don't let them go brown, just let them go soft. Chop up your baby marrows, add about a liter of stock, whether it's vegetable or chicken stock, it makes no difference. Cook it until the baby marrow is soft and then blitz it up. And like I said, this time I added the mock cream cheese, but I'm sure you can use normal cream cheese. I added it in and it became this creamy, thick soup and it was absolutely outstanding. Everybody loved it. And it was quick to make. It literally takes 15 minutes. The longest thing is to get the water in the pot to boil. And to do that, I usually boil the kettle. You know, you want it in straight away. Also, with any of these soups, when you're doing the onion, one of the best things to do is to heat the base of the pot first. So you put your pot on empty, put it on the stove, especially if you've got an electric stove. Turn it up and get it hot. Then add your margarine or your oil to do your frying so that when you put your food in, it goes straight away into the frying or sauté mode. If you put it in and the oil is still cold, you're actually boiling your food in the oil. It's almost like you're making it into like a boiled vegetable. There is a term for that, but you need a lot of oil for that, where you actually cook it in the oven in a pot of oil. So you don't deep fry it, but you do cook it in oil. And that just also, vegetables done that way don't absorb the oil, but they do become almost soft and like creamy-like. And it's a something that takes a bit of practice, though, I must admit. First few times, my food was a little on the oily side. Once I got it right, no problem. So that's something to import. The next thing we're going to talk about is, you know, pasta-free options of food. Like I said, we're not doing a lot of pastas at the moment because most of them want cheese sauces or white sauces. So I'm looking at alternatives and trying different ways to get my family to eat vegetables. Some of them will eat vegetables, not a problem. As much as they're meat eaters, they actually eat vegetables and fruit and stuff. And others, not going to happen. Unless you can hide the vegetables, it's not going down. So those are some things to look at. Okay, we're going to an ad break now, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after the ad.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Hi FM.
Okay, coming back to using something instead of pasta to make interesting meals, how about a zucchini noodle with a spicy tomato sauce? Also, it takes about 20 minutes to cook. My favorite type of cooking because it must be quick. Now, you can either buy the zucchini noodles from the shop already done. It does cost a little bit more because obviously you're paying for their labor. Or you just take your nice zucchini or baby marrows, wash them really well. This serves a family of four, so about a kilo of baby marrows. And use your peeler to make almost like tagliatelle noodles instead of spaghetti. If you have a spiralizer, great, make into spaghetti. Sorry. Garlic, depending on how spicy you like stuff, 1 to 2 cloves of garlic. And I'm a big garlic fan. Almost everything I cook has garlic in because garlic is a natural antibacterial. It helps keep you healthy in winter. I have noticed that since we started using garlic in my family, we do get a lot less colds. And it's a big family, so colds spread quite quickly. And those that do get the colds are only sick for a very short time. I mean, there's not a guaranteed way to prevent a cold. Then 4 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. If you don't have extra virgin olive oil, ordinary cooking oil works just as well. I just found that the virgin olive oil has like a slightly peppery flavor, so it does give it a nice taste when you're cooking. And then 4 tablespoons of tomato paste. So it's about 60 mils of tomato paste. And then 2 cans of the all gold diced tomatoes with chili. Now, if you don't like chili and you don't like spicy foods, then just use the Italian style. That has basil and oregano, which is some nice herbs and a nice flavor. I do like the chili one. And you can, if you find that the chili, as much as you like the spice, if the chili is a little bit too strong, you can add a can or a bottle of Oily Whip. It does soothe it down. If you're making it milchik, you can put in some yogurt. Yogurt really does work nicely with chili. Then 1 tablespoon of fresh chopped basil or dried basil. This is optional. It's a garnish. It's just, you know, as it tastes nice with the noodles and everything. So you eat the garnish, but it's just something to have. And then for those who have Parmesan and cheese on hand, a good healthy grating of that over the top, and you have a full meal. So, like I said, to make your zucchini noodles, you either use your vegetable peeler to make it into tagliatelle pasta, or if you have a spiralizer, then that's what you're going to use. So you heat your pan or your pot, usually on a setting, so a medium heat, 3 to 4 in your stove if you're using electric. And then you add your oil once the pot is already hot. Once the oil is heated up, you add your garlic, and you cook this for about 30 seconds. Then you stir in your tomato paste and cook that for another 2 minutes. Stir in your cans of tomatoes and bring those to the boil. You cook that until the tomato juice is reduced to about 3/4. You want quite a thick sauce because you are going to make this into almost like a lasagna, a spaghetti bolognese type meal. And that can take about 4 to 5 minutes and a medium-high heat. So that's about a 6 or a 7 on your stove. Add your zucchini to the once that's cooked down and you've got your noodles. So you want to add it and stir it so that all your noodles are covered with the nice, delicious tomato sauce. Cook that for another 3 minutes or until your noodles are the tenderness you want. So whether they're soft but not mushy or whether you like them with a slight bite to them still. You garnish with your basil and your Parmesan. And that makes an amazing filling food. Another idea for the meat-free is a vegetable and chickpea curry. Now, chickpeas, there's a debate whether you use canned or fresh. Canned chickpeas are just more convenient. Just remember to rinse them off. But ordinary chickpeas are actually very easy to prepare. You just put them in water to soak. Once they're soaked and you've cleaned and rinsed them, bring them to boil for a few minutes until they're 3/4 of the way done. So soft, but not also, once again, not mushy. And then mixed vegetables. And you can use all sorts of combinations of vegetables and you make that. So one of the things, if you're doing a curry, is to remember that your curry is a raw spice and it should be cooked. In fact, all your spices should be cooked at the beginning and your herbs added to the end. That is a little trick that I learned a long time ago from Alan Bender. So when you're making a curry, dice your onion and your garlic, cook those first, add your curry powder or your curry spices to that at the beginning, and then add whatever vegetables you're going to use. So whether chickpea curry, things that go nicely is, once again, zucchini, baby marrows, those are easy to get and in season now, your carrots, you know, that also, carrots are always in season, tomato is great with chickpeas, and any kind of Israeli-type flavor. So spices that go well, you've got your curry, you can add coriander. I know a lot of people don't like coriander. For those who see recipes with cilantro and are never sure what that is because you've never seen it, cilantro is coriander. It's just from named differently in different countries. If you're looking at American recipes as well, I've learned something new. Their tomato sauce is actually pasta sauce. So pasta sauce is great. Then homemade fish burgers. The fish burgers, you know, you can buy your fish patties or whatever you like from wherever, whether it's crumbed or not, and make those into burgers. But I like to take a hake and mince it and add my spices and to it, and then remake it into the burger. You can do that with or without egg. It sticks quite nicely. And I usually try and give it an oriental type flavor. So I use cumin, coriander, sometimes lemongrass will add it, a little bit of chili, just to make it something special. Cottage pie is another idea. Cottage pie made with soya mince or with tuna. So it's not really a cottage pie. I don't know what you would call it then, but a tuna bake, I suppose, with a sweet potato mash. Now, plain sweet potato, everybody gets bored with that. Ordinary potatoes, also everybody gets bored with the potatoes. So I like to add some herbs. I like to add some thyme and rosemary into my sweet potato mash. Another staple on my menu at home, and to make it for the 9 days, you can buy these chicken style strips, and you do a stir-fried cashew nut chicken. So stir-fried cashew nut chicken, whether you make the vegetables yourself or you buy the frozen, makes no difference. They are just as healthy. And, you know, frozen is obviously always more convenient because you can just take it out immediately. But this you need to be careful with, because if you're stir-frying, those vegetables need to have defrosted. Otherwise, every time you stick it into the oil, it's going to splatter at you. You don't need a lot of oil. What I like to do here is, instead of using ordinary oil, is to use like a flavored oil, like a peanut oil or a sesame oil, which you can get just about anywhere these days. And then you stir-fry cook your rice separately as you would normally. Stir fry all your vegetables, and before you end, stir in a teaspoon of peanut butter and hot sauce. It just makes a really nice flavor, and your soya sauce for those who use it or who like it, which we do. And then you'll add right at the end, if you're using the soya chicken strips, you add those at the end because they only need about 6 minutes to cook. Potato kugel as a side dish. Once again, it's easy to make it. You can make a big batch. You can then freeze it in half and save some. A new recipe that I found, and you can use chicken for when it's not, the 9 days, or if the thought of tofu is just beyond you, is a honey and ginger tofu. And then I found in a magazine from about 2 years ago. I keep the cooking magazines. I'm really bad with that. But you need to remember that when you're doing tofu, like I said before, you need to marinate the tofu. So when you're doing the honey and ginger, mix your honey, your ginger. This is an Asian-style dish, so soya sauce, honey, ginger. Mix those all together. Put your tofu in and let it sit for at least an hour. One of the things that you need to know when working with tofu is it's very liquid. So what you do is you take your tofu, you cut it into the pieces you're going to need. So usually small 1 centimeter cubes. But before you're going to do that, you've got to let the water absorb. So put it on paper towel or any towel, one on top, one underneath. When the towel is wet, change it over. It takes a good 15 minutes to get all that water out. You can press it down a little, but if you press too hard, it's obviously going to ooze out. Once you've cut up the tofu, then you stick it in the marinade. And if you want to, you can put it in the marinade before. I just like it cut up because I found that the flavors infuse into the tofu much better. Then kebabs. Once again, eggplant is a great substitute for meat if you need to. Cut up your eggplant. This is also something that needs to be sweated out. So you slice your eggplant or cut it up into cubes, put it in a bowl with some salt over it, and let it drain, all the fluid drain out. Pat it dry, and then you're going to put it onto skewers. Marinate it in your favorite sauce. You can use any sauce you like, whether it's homemade or store-bought. Once again, you've got to let it go for about half an hour. On the skewers, remember to soak your skewers before you use them, because otherwise they burn faster than the food cooks. Into your oven, onto your grill, onto your braai, however you like it, and serve it with your mealie pap. This works well with lamb as well. Then hot and sour soup. Now, there are a million recipes out there for hot and sour soup. Not all of them work not all of the stuff is available in South Africa. But I found one that I sort of adapted. And Chinese cabbage works beautifully in this. Soya sauce, your chili sauce. I use Tabasco a lot. Chili sauce, ginger, once again, honey. All of those making it into a sour soup. So that's it. Roasted baby beetroot as a side is wonderful. It's a simple thing to do. Wash your beetroot really well. You can use bigger ones, but the babies cook nicely. You put it in some tin foil, make an envelope out of the tin foil. Squash a piece of garlic. Don't cut it up, don't chop it, don't mash it, anything. Sprinkle some oil and some salt over your beetroots. Close your envelope, put it in an oven-proof dish, and bake it at 180. You bake that until when you put a knife through the beetroot, it's soft. So it can take quite a while. Even if you are using baby beetroot, it does take at least half an hour. Then a risotto of a difference, a tuna and fennel risotto. Now, not everybody likes fennel because it has that very licorice flavor, an aniseed flavor. But this one is a very subtle flavor, and you can't actually taste the licorice part to it. And that's something really nice to have. And then, like I said, the peanut noodle soup is one of my favorites. Warm roasted butternut and a tahini dressing. So the warm roasted butternut, you roast your butternut as normal. You make yourself a ginger and honey sauce to go over it, and the tahini dressing. The tahini dressing, I must admit, I just adjust the flavors to what I like. So I add a little extra lemon juice and a little bit of extra cumin into it. And that'll give you something nice. And something different for dessert. So it's called an eat and mess bomb. So when something's a bomb, it's B-O-M-B-E, it means it's frozen. And this is what you can do with leftover broken meringue. It's the best thing because it's easy to use, and you can use frozen fruit. Fresh fruit obviously tastes delicious, and you use frozen fruit. It's meringue, it's cream, or oily whip. And it's great for Shabbos because you can put it in a bowl. So you line a bowl with glad wrap, you put your mixture in, and freeze it. So that when you want it, you take it out, but it doesn't freeze solid like an ice cream. It freezes just enough to hold its shape for you to, you know, plate it up and make it look pretty. For that, you can use any fruit as well. The most common one is strawberries, obviously. But I've used a mixture of berries, and it's worked out well. You need to make it down to a coulis, which means you take some of the fruit and you cook it up with a little bit of sugar. You can use xylitol until it breaks down into a syrup. Then you pass it through a sieve so it makes a smooth sauce without any of the pips. And you swirl that in, you stir that into your beaten oily whip or your beaten cream to give it a nice little swirly pattern. You add your fresh fruit, cut up into small bite-sized pieces, add in your meringue. And I've had some fun with it by putting in blue pieces of meringue just for something different when I did a blueberry one. And into your freezer, and it looks like a professional dessert, but it's done in like 20 minutes. Peppered mackerel. It's not just for salads. It's not just for cold food. So penne pasta with some peas, a bit of lemon on top, lemon zest, and some squeezed lemon, a little bit of margarine or butter or oil to make it into a sauce, and then your peppered mackerel into the hot pasta to heat it all up and make a nice light lunch. Even with the pasta, it's still a fairly light, healthy meal. Once again, your baby marrow lasagna, you make it as if you're making a normal lasagna. You can do your white sauce and all that, and then you slice your baby marrows. If you have what's called a mandolin, it does very thin slicing. Otherwise, you've got to stand there and practice that by hand. And you layer it as if you would do your normal tuna lasagna. And it makes a great filling flavor. And once again, a way for people to eat vegetables who don't really like vegetables. That's a nice thing. Potatoes and Italian stew, fish. Fish is a big thing in my house. Nobody really likes it, so every now and again I have to cover it up and make it into a fish, into something that they will eat. So what we did was a fish chowder. It's potatoes, tomatoes, onions, carrots. And so it's slightly different. It's more of an Italian fish stew than a chowder, because it doesn't, the chowder has the more creamy sauce. This has a more tomato-based sauce. But you use the same ingredients almost. Just instead of the cans of evaporated milk, I use cans of chopped tomato. And that was a difference. Then another thing to do is a fish, steamed fish with chilies. I love that one. You flavor your fish with some chili powder, depending on how spicy you like it. Steam your fish and serve it with the vegetables that you want. That's so easy to make as well. And my one pot pasta meal. One pot pasta meal, my favorite, because it's one pot, it doesn't make a mess, and we can keep going. So, and that, any pasta you like, I'll use spaghetti, I use small pasta shells, I like to use baby spinach leaves, chopped up tomato, chopped up garlic, chopped up onions, and then whichever herb that you want. Those are quite important things. And that's something that, that's also, once again, easy to make. It's quick. But one thing you've got to keep in mind is, do your ingredients all cook at the same time? There's no point in making it if you've got one thing that's going to take longer to cook and then the others are shorter. So they should all take round about 20 minutes to cook, because that's how long your pasta package tells you your pasta should cook. It usually says about 15 minutes. But if you have all these ingredients together, you do that. And what I like to do is, instead of using water to cook it, I use stock. Whether I'm doing rice or pasta, the stock just makes the flavors so much more interesting. And it takes a boring rice dish into a little bit something special, so that those of us who have family members who only want to eat the rice, well, they're at least getting some stock in there, some flavor to it, instead of this plain rice. So that's an important thing. After the later on, the recipes will, some of these recipes will be available on the website for Chai FM. And now I'm going to talk about the pasta heavy dishes, the normal ones that everybody likes, the lasagnas, the macaroni and cheese, you know, those kind of things. And sorry. And that's how we're going to finish off. One of the nice things about mac and cheese is there are so many different recipes. The one on my website is called the Hide the Mac and Cheese. Basically, it's hide the vegetables in the macaroni and cheese. And any variation of vegetables is great. We're going to go to an ad break now, and we'll be back after that to talk about pasta dishes.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hi, and we're back. We're going to talk pasta and dishes for those who like their carbs. So one of the things that's great during this time is falafels. Love falafels. And you can now buy, you don't have to go and buy the falafel balls made and cooked, or go to a restaurant and buy the ready-made. So it doesn't have to be takeaways or anything expensive. You can buy the frozen falafel mix and make it at home yourself. And what I like about that is I can actually then do it baked instead of deep fried. And I've done it, and it's worked really well. Or you shallow fry it. So that's a nice, you know, as long as it holds the shape. And I must admit, most of my family don't care whether it's in a ball or in a fish cake shape. Your salad's in, your tahina, your hummus, you know, those are easy to buy or to make. And your pita bread. You know, it's a filling meal. Everybody can have it by hand. It doesn't take a lot of work, you know, and everybody can put it together. So what you do, in my house, it's called a deconstructed meal. I do that with burgers as well. People get to choose what their toppings are. So the only work I really have to do is the prep work. So do your falafel balls, whether you want to deep fry it or bake it, have those ready. I chop up tomato, onion, and cucumbers. Give it a little bit of a vinaigrette dressing to make a little salad. Then I buy the tubs of hummus, tubs of tahina, and one of the other salads, whether it's a brinjal salad or a red pepper salad, any of those ready-made salads, and everybody comes and chooses what they want to put in their pita bread. That's a great one. And for little kids, I mean, you can do it with mini little mini pitas. It's great to send to school as well because it's quite a good meal that is cold. The next, tuna lasagna. Now, one of the things I've learned with lasagna is I know the box says don't cook. You don't need to pre-cook it. It's ready-made. But I often find that the cooking time is then a bit difficult. So I'll get some pasta that is perfect and others that are like crunchy because they haven't cooked through. So I like to soak my pasta in lukewarm water before I use it. It just makes it more manageable. But also you often get the pieces and they don't fit 100% into your dish. And one of the things they always tell you is don't overlap the pasta. So if you've had your pasta soaking, your lasagna sheet soaking, you can break them into the right size to fit your dish. And I use a tinfoil tray to make my lasagna to feed everybody. Another way to do the white sauce is you don't need to use butter. I use oil to make my white sauce. Oil, flour to make your paste, and then slowly add the milk, whether it's lactose-free milk or almond milk, whichever milk you're going to use to cook with, to make the sauce. And then if you'd like, which my family prefer, is I grate cheese into it. They don't like plain white sauce. And you grate a heavy lot of cheese in. If you're going to add cheese, a nice addition then is some whole grain mustard or even just plain mustard powder. It just gives it a nice flavor and some nutmeg. Your tuna is the cheat version. Quite quick, easy. Anybody can do it. Canned of chopped tomato and onion mixture. Your tuna goes in with that. Mix that all together and there's your meat layer, so to speak. And remember to start, I like to put a little layer of the white sauce at the bottom, but spray and cook works just as well. Anything to grease the bottom. Put your thin layer of pasta down, then your first layer, whether it's the tuna or the white sauce, whichever way you prefer to do it, then some pasta, then your next layer, so alternating layers. And depending on how big you're going to make your pasta, you may only get one layer of each. If you've got a small family, you can get two layers out of it. So it's a nice, thick, high pile of pasta. Or you can get like a long, you know, cut the slices longer and have smaller. It looks like more, but they're actually exactly the same. I try to get at least three or four layers for my pasta, finishing it off with the white sauce, grated cheese on top, and a little bit of paprika to give it some flavor. Like I said, the macaroni and cheese, it's the same white sauce as I would do for my lasagna. But here I can often stick stuff in that nobody's going to notice. Put in the peas, they don't mind those. They like peas. Grated baby marrow into it. Grated carrot into it. Chopped tomato. Even tuna can go into the macaroni and cheese. Just to make it slightly healthier. But remember when you're using pasta to try and use only the durum wheat pasta. The semolina pasta is not low GI. So the durum wheat pasta keeps everybody full for longer, which means you're not going to spend the rest of the week feeding people. And that's, you know, like every 5 minutes somebody's hungry. They've stood at the open fridge or the open cupboard and going, there's nothing to eat. Now, another one is the instant noodles. My kids have always wanted, they want those Maggie noodles. Why can't we have them? We'll get rid of the sachets. You know, we won't have to use those. So I found a way around that. If you buy, and you can buy the rice noodles or the vermicelli noodles, the egg noodles from Woolworths. They come in little nests. Or you buy the angel hair pasta from Fatties and Moni's. They work as well. They cook very, very quickly. And then what I do is I dice up my fresh vegetables or tuna. The kids can add whichever ones they like. I have a peanut sauce in the fridge that they can pour over to, or just plain tomato sauce. So a lot of them, you know, everybody gets to make their own flavored pasta. So a very popular one in my house would be plain tomato sauce, the can of tuna, and pasta. Nothing else. Sometimes some will have cheese on, some won't. And it's a nice quick school, after-school lunch that you can feed everybody. And they feel like they've eaten food, even though it really didn't take more than 2 minutes to do it. Not my favorite, I have to admit, just because I'm not sure I like the taste of tomato sauce. And I do. I make my own tomato sauce, and you freeze it, but it, not everybody has time to cook a whole pot of tomato sauce. It does take a little bit of effort and a little bit of time. Although I have a new toy that I've invested in, and it is an investment, and it made tomato sauce the other day in literally 10 minutes. It was wonderful. It's called a Thermomix, and I just love using it. But the hand blender, those stick blenders, fantastic, because you don't have to pour your soup out of the pot. You can actually just stick the blender straight in. Just be careful that you don't get splashed. And a lot of kids prefer soups because they're smooth. So, you know, a vegetable soup, and I found it easier if you're going to make a nice vegetable soup to feed your family, than to grate your vegetables before cooking them. That just, you know, makes it easier for you to blend it up. But then you've got, for those who want the clear vegetable soup, you can strain it. Or if they want vegetables in it, you just serve it like that. Or if you need to blend it to make it into a thicker soup, much easier than having whole pieces of vegetable in it. So some alternative vegetables that people aren't used to using. One of them is turnips. Turnips have a slight spicy sort of oniony flavor, but they make a great mash. Just be careful how much water you use, because they are a fairly watery vegetable. And they do have a lot of vegetables. So it's better if you cut it. It's called mock steaming. If you cut it up into chunks and you put just enough water to cover the base of your pot, put the lid on and bring it to boil that way. So you're going to put it in from cold, and it steams the vegetable, and it's just the right consistency. The water evaporates, and it makes it a lot easier to blend up. And then I add Oli Whip or cream, depending on what I'm making, and it just makes it a nice, like a mashed potato almost feel. So that's another thing. And you can mash anything. I mean, if you can do it for babies, why can't you do it for adults? So something like a cumin and carrot mash or puree. The cumin is more for the adult taste. It's not to feed your children. But for the babies, you make the mash without the cumin, and you've got the same supper for everybody. Always a good thing. We're going to go to an ad break now, and we'll be back after that.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi, welcome back. Adrian from Kashering Your Life. We've just been talking this today about meals for the 9 days and how to get through your 9 days if you're a meat eater. So hopefully we've only got a few more days left of that, and you'll survive it quite easily. Some things that you need to look at, fish is one of the biggest things that people struggle with. Fish is not that cheap here in South Africa, but there are so many different kinds of fish, and one of them is angel fish, and it's a nice cheap cut of fish. It's very meaty, and according to my youngest one, it tastes like chicken, so she's quite happy to eat that. Well, when she ate fish. So I like to bake my angel fish. It's a fairly dry fish, so it does need a sauce to it. But the only problem is that so far I've only found it, like if you find it frozen, it's usually a whole fish, and then you've got to cut the head off and all that, and that's not my thing. So I prefer to go to the fishmonger and actually get it ready, done for me, and just bake it in an oven. One of the things with fish is you've got to know which fishes to use. And one of the safest fishes is your hake or any other white fish. So king clip works as well. They're easy to cook. They take a little bit longer to cook, about 20 minutes to cook a piece of frozen fish. But even overcooking it won't be a total disaster. It does dry it out quite a lot. But once they flaked, and that's easy to add to any kind of stew that you want. So some ideas of ingredients that will go nicely together would be your baked beans, onion, tomato, your fish, and then the herbs that you like to use. And in my house, I have a mixture of dried and fresh. I do like the fresh herbs better, but it's not always possible to have them. You know, you don't want to buy a whole big thing of say, basil when you're only going to use it for one recipe. So dried herbs worked well. And the way to remember your herb ratio is a 15 mils or 3 tablespoons of fresh chopped herbs is 1 teaspoon of dried herbs. That's the easiest way to remember it. And it doesn't – the dried herbs may not be as flavorsome as a fresh herb, but they do taste just as good, and they do work up a really nice flavor into your food. I've even made a basil pesto using only dried herbs instead of fresh, and nobody really commented on the difference. So it's possible to substitute quite easily. I hope you've enjoyed listening to my first show, and give us a call if you want any other ideas or any other recipes coming, speaking about. I am looking forward to having a discussion about banting and some banting recipes and how banting changes people's lives. And then I'm also looking at hopefully speaking to somebody who helps people feed their children, fussy eaters, fussy toddlers, to get them to eat healthy food and vegetables. One of my passions in food is trying to get people to eat a lot healthier, obviously on a budget, but also South Africa is ranked amongst the fattest nation in the world. We are in the top 10, and one of my goals is to reduce child obesity. And by doing that, by teaching parents and kids on how to eat healthier, rather make your burgers at home than go fast food, because the burgers at home are just so much more delicious. And fish burgers, if you buy the fish patties, the crumbed fish and that, these are processed bits of fish that have come from the end of the fish, the pieces that they couldn't use, and they've been then sort of molded together in a machine to make your fish finger. Whereas if you make your own fish fingers, you're going to buy a nice whole fillet of fish, slice your fish fingers. You can freeze those too. It's not a problem. Crumb them, and you can crumb them with whatever you want. I have done sesame seeds. I have done sunflower seeds crushed up into a powder, almond flour, all those things to make them into healthy choices. And then I tend to bake my fishes instead of frying them. So fish fingers in my house will not come from a box, except during school lunches, like after school lunches when the kids come home and they want to make themselves something to eat. There's always a box, unfortunately, of processed food in the freezer, just to make life easier for everyone and to make sure that they actually do eat, whether it's healthy or not. It's some food in them. So not all about totally healthy, not freakishly healthy, not paranoid about being healthy either. And, you know, just good food, easy food, and reasonably priced food. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and tune in again next week for Sharon Lurie's show on the Cooking Corner on Chai FM. Thanks for joining us.